For our continuing sermon series tonight on heaven, we'll turn to Philippians chapter 3 and start the reading at verse 12. That's Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. Philippians 3, starting with verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. Pray with me. Our God, thank you for the marvelous picture of what will be. Help us and inspire us and encourage us to know this truth and to live this truth and to look forward to you with hopeful expectation. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, I was looking forward to my 40th birthday, and Leslie asked me, what do you want to do? And I thought about it, and I had come to the decision, I just wanted to have an open house. And I wanted to invite all of my favorite people from the past 40 years just to come in this time frame of 4 hours or so, just to sit down and to have a cup of coffee and to talk. So we sent out the invitations, and friends from 40 years came and they rolled into my house and we sat and we talked, and I looked at friends who had been friends 26 years ago and friends who had been friends just in the last 10 years. And I was delighted to see them. I was delighted to have them in my midst. I was delighted for the assembly there. Our first international conference was when we had come to Eastvale, and well, over 10 years ago now. And at international conference at one point in the evening, they had new songs singing and they had an ice cream night. And we're walking through, and a new song's voice is lilting over all of us as we're walking along. My kids had their little bowl of ice cream, and as we walked along, one of them gasped and stopped. And I looked, and I said, what is it? And he said, Daddy, this is just like heaven. As we looked around, and we saw people from Scotland and Ireland and Japan and all across the globe, the psalms were being sung, and we had ice cream. This idea of an assembly, this idea of being brought together with those people with whom we want to be with, is one of those great pictures of heaven. One of these ideas to which we look forward to mostly. So the call for you tonight is look forward to the residence, that is those people in heaven, and your residence in heaven. Our first step, number one, heaven is the place the place of the faithful fellowship. In Matthew 8:11, Jesus says, I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. To spur on spiritual conversation, sometimes I ask people questions like, if you could witness one piece of Bible history or Bible prophecy, what would you like to see? I enjoy watching people run through the stories in their mind and run through the scriptures and come with ideas and shoot back and forth about the ideas. I also enjoy asking, if you could meet one person from scripture, who would you like to meet? Who would you like to fellowship with? As we read through the book of Genesis and we see the things that Abraham did and Isaac did and Jacob did, sometimes we would smack ourselves in the forehead and say, what have you done? Why would you do that? Well, here the picture is being given in the kingdom of heaven. This is the place where we, having come from the east and having come from the west, we will recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We look at Abraham and we understand Abraham as being the father of us all. And that's a lovely idea and it's a lovely picture as he is the father of the faithful, the scripture describes it. But as we look at the Bible and we see the mistakes that he made and the sins that he committed, we can look at the words again and say that he is the father of us all. And again, we can say, amen. This is true. But as we look at Scripture, we see the idea that a change will happen, a dividing will have occurred. In Matthew 11:23, when Jesus is preaching, he says, and you, Capernaum, speaking to the residents of Capernaum, you will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. When we arrive at heaven, that division will have occurred. In Matthew chapter 13, when Jesus tells the parable of the tares and the wheat, it says a landowner went out and he sowed in his field and he had planted good wheat. Well, days later, when it rose up and it grew, his servants looked and said, didn't you plant good seed? Look, there's tares, there's thorns in the wheat. And Jesus says, an enemy has done this. And they asked the question at that point. They longed to see things divided. They longed to see things being set right. They said, do you want us to go and tear out the tares, gather them up? And Jesus says, no, not until the day of the harvest. In the day of the harvest, there will be that dividing, that longing that we have in our heart to see things set right, to be in the righteous assembly with all else removed. This will take place. Our next step, number two, the name of God's children are recorded there. The names of God's children are recorded there. Luke 10:20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Your name is recorded in heaven. Your name is recorded in heaven if you endure to the end. I look at this picture and I think in terms of invitations. You see people come to, and I've only seen it on TV, when somebody comes to an establishment and they say, your name. And they say their name and they say, you're not on the list. I heard stories of a woman who was a singer at a wedding. And as the singer at the wedding, she had the opportunity to come to this grand reception following. And she had gotten her letter to send in her RSVP, and she didn't do it. She thought, I'm the singer. So she sang at the wedding, and then following that, she went to the reception, and she walked up, and they said your name, and she gave her name, and they said, you're not on the list. She said, but I'm the singer. And they said, you're not on the list. And they called the person that was in charge, and they looked and said, you didn't RSVP. You're not on the list. She was the singer, and she turned in sorrow and went away. She was not welcome at the wedding feast. She was not on the list. As we look at the scripture and we ask the question, are you on the list? Have you called on the name of the Lord? Have you believed in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? Do you look at your life and is your life a pattern of hating sin and putting it off? Do you look at your life? Is it a pattern of loving God's people? Is this the reality of your life? If so, you may rejoice that your name is on the list. If not, I call you to repentance, to call on the name of the Lord, to throw off your sin, to love his people. The names of God's children are recorded there. There was a TV series that was on when I was a child. It was the scene was this bar where people had would get together, and a part of the lyrics from the song was, sometimes you want to be where you can see, troubles are all the same. Sometimes you want to be where everybody knows your name. In this scene, and the people would come into the bar, and there's a particular character, when he would come in, everybody in the bar would turn and they would shout his name, and he would answer, how you doing, everybody? And there's this idea of being welcomed, this idea of being included. We must ask the question, where do you want to be welcomed? Where do you want to be included? Where do you want your name to be known? In dens of sin, in tents of wickedness, or in the gateway of the house of God, where the name of God's children are recorded. There we will assemble for eternity. Our next step, number 3. Heaven is where the least are the greatest. Imagine if you are like me, you have the sense in your life that you are generally too small, generally too foolish, and that you are easily discarded. I'm on a committee of presbytery right now, and we're on a visitation committee for another church that has asked for help. And we were in this meeting, and it turned out that one of the members had to leave, and he couldn't be on the committee anymore. And then it gave us an even number, which can be a problem then, because if you have a vote, it's this side against this side. You want an odd number on such a meeting. So I pointed this out. I said, well, we have an even number now. Someone else should probably be excluded. I vote for me because I'm the youngest. And they said, well, we're going to need wisdom for this. And I said, right, that's why I vote for me, because I'm the youngest. Kenji Smith responded. He said, well, maybe it should be the oldest that's excused. Another man responded from our church in Ohio, I think it should be the person that's from the furthest away. And so there we were at our impasse. No one was about to be excused or let anyone else be excused. Well, this idea in Matthew 11:11, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Do you feel small? Do you feel weak? Do you feel easily disregarded? Do you imagine yourself easily sidelined? As we read through church history and I look at the pastors of old, I see myself as so small, so weak, lacking in so many areas. In our lives, in each of our lives, in each of our scenarios, if we have the humility of Christ, we will find ourselves that way. But Matthew 11:25 bestows this blessing and this picture on the small and the weak and the marginalized. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. If you're small, if you find yourself weak, if you find yourself lacking in intelligence, it doesn't matter in the kingdom of heaven. In fact, in that place, the smaller you are, the weaker you are, the more foolish that you see yourself, there you are exalted. Can you imagine that if there is such a dinner table there at the kingdom of heaven? We're always warned in Scripture, don't put yourself at the head of the table. Rather, sit yourself at the foot. Then be honored if someone calls you forward. How embarrassing will it be if they say, no, you move to the foot of the table. I wonder what that table will be like as we assemble. I wonder what the picture will be. I wonder who the least of us is. Christ will say, you come. You sit with me. Well, this is that picture in the kingdom of heaven. It will not be the strongest. It will not be the smartest or the fastest. It will be that one in humility who has been small in their own sight, that is most loved, that is most honored. And at such a time, we will all look and we will glory and we will shout amen. And we will rejoice in Christ and his love for those small children. Our next step, number four, is in Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. That fourth step is going to heaven is a step towards completion. Going to heaven is a step towards completion. This amazing picture that we are given, that we are called and we will sit at the table with him. And we would look at ourselves and say, no, Lord, how? No, Lord, how? Surely not. Surely I am not worthy to sit next to you. But we see what will be taking place in our lives as God works on us, as God works in us. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble estate into conformity with the body of his glory. What is your humble estate now? What is your humble state now, rather? Well, as we get older, we find our humble state increasing, don't we? Our former glory is lacking. Our former strength, our former stamina, our former intelligence for a lot of us. Not able to remember what we're able to do. Not able to remember what we have said. Not able to remember what we have heard. Disappointing circumstances. This is intentional. This is intentional in our lives. God inflicts you with this on purpose. That we will not hold on to our former glory. We will not hold on or imagine that we have earned our salvation. We will not imagine that we are strong. We will no longer imagine that we are beautiful. But we will see our own physical weakness as God brings about a spiritual glory in each of us. We eagerly wait for a Savior. Does anyone who is fine eagerly wait for a Savior? Does anyone who is strong eagerly wait for a Savior? Does anyone who has acquired all knowledge eagerly wait for a Savior? Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. And what, as we have had loved ones getting weaker and weaker in their lives, as we have known saints who were no longer able to rise from the bed, what comfort would it be for them to hear the Lord Jesus will transform the body of your humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. To hear that announced to us, to know that this is the case, that this will be the reality. As you decompose in this world, as you break down and as you weaken, we are given this promise and this hope that we will be made like Christ. Now, enjoy this picture on how he will accomplish this for you. Into conformity with the body of his glory, that is his worth, that is his value, that is the light with which he shines. You will be transformed into that reality by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. That means your own body, your own soul. He will bring that into subjection, into glory and into power. Our weakness will be transformed into strength, and we will be glorious with him. This brings us to our fifth step. Going to heaven is going home. Going to heaven is going home. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. have talked to a number of you here. I have had a different experience than a lot of you, having been raised in one home. We didn't move much. We moved once when I was 3. I lived in that house then until I was 18, and I moved to Pittsburgh for school. And I had always had the sense, because we farmed that land, and I cut that grass, and I cut down the trees there, and I carried the firewood there. I had the sense that my soul was bound to that earth and bound to those hills, that that was home. When I had moved away, I had never had the sense that anywhere else was home for decades. And so I've asked a number of you, what does it mean for you to go home? Where is home? Some of you have lived like nomads in this world, that there has been no place that you would say, if I'm going home, there is no place to which you would travel and you would call home. I asked one old saint who was a pastor, I asked him, is there a home for you? Is there a land that you would go to, that you would call home? He said, I've always thought that my home was where my wife is. That's a beautiful idea. That's a beautiful truth. Since then, that brother's wife has passed away. And now, more than ever, he can say, my home is where my wife is. With you and me, as we would have the question, if I would ask you or you would ask me, where do you call home? I hope I wouldn't say New Galilee. I hope I wouldn't say Irondale, Ohio. I hope I would say, my home is where my Savior is. My home is where my Savior is. You see, we once were not a people. We once were a people with no family whatsoever. We were a people of Sodom. We were a people of Gomorrah. We were a people of Babylon. We are people who had been left and sent to destruction in the last great day. But now, in these times, God has said to you who were not a people, now you are the people of God, even members of his whole own household. That is the church. That is the kingdom of heaven. For us and for a number of us, and all of the pictures of heaven have been distorted in this world. I have known people who would not accept Christ because their own father was abusive and evil. They could not understand the idea of a heavenly father, and that being a good thing. I have known people whose homes were so ugly and so terrible, they would do anything to stay away from that place. Going home is not a good picture to them. But here, as we look at the idea of home, home is safety. Home is peace. Home is full acceptance as we come in Christ Jesus. For our citizenship is in heaven. Heaven is going home for us. And when we arrive there, we will look and we will see and know and we will recognize our true family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We will recline at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We can finally ask Job our questions. We can ask Jonah our questions. We can ask David our questions, and we can have them answered. But all of that will pale. All of that will pale to seeing our Savior and having that wonderful experience of our nature being transformed into conformity with his power and his might, which he has had to exercise authority and to subject all things to himself. It will all be made all right. It will all be made all right. How often have we seen a crying child and we've wanted to gather them and say, it will be all right. It's so much easier when it's just a skinned knee. But as life goes on and as life gets harder and things get more complicated, we want to snatch them up or hold them and say, it will be all right. And unless we're speaking of the end times, it's like we have to lie a little bit to say it. But here, we're given the full picture where it will be all right. Can we look forward to that together? Can we enjoy that truth together? Can we look forward to seeing the Lord Jesus Christ and all of the saints worshiping together? Look forward to the residence and your residence in heaven. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you that you give us such a grand and complete picture of all that you will accomplish, even on our behalf, as your sons and your daughters. We thank you that you will bring to completion the good which you began in us. We thank you again that you will advance us from strength to strength. God, give us hope and give us confidence as we look forward to seeing you face to face in the beautiful fellowship with all of your saints. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.